Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 12, studying Matthew chapter 12. As we get started, these reminders. You can freely access everything that we offer by clicking the free link at internationalgospelhour.com. To receive links for all of our free materials, just send an email to free@ighradio.com. You can also text IGHFREE, that's IGH free, all one word, to 55222. Are you interested in learning more about God's Word? Here are two great ways to not only learn more about God's Word, but to learn to love God more as well. First, consider enrolling in our completely free, self-paced online Bible study program. To get started right away, if you like, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org, or you can click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. Second, if you prefer to study by mail, then call this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988. 6988, in order to receive our free 30-lesson Bible study series. You can also request that series by using the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's get back into our study of Matthew chapter 12. At the very end of our last program, we noted this. Eve told Satan that she and Adam were not only restricted from eating from that tree in the midst of the garden, but that they were also restricted from touching that tree. Where did that extra restriction, do not touch the tree, come from? The scriptures do not tell us. But obviously, if Eve never touched the tree, she would not be able to eat from that tree. We noted this example. If, in an attempt to keep your son or your daughter from playing in the street, you told them, do not ever leave the yard, you have, out of love and concern for their safety, provided an extra level of restriction that was intended to protect them. What could be so bad about that? Perhaps, and we emphasized the word perhaps the Pharisees' initial intention was to be so overprotective that neither they nor anyone else would ever violate the Sabbath. The problem? Their excessive restrictions, rather than sanctifying the Sabbath for the purposes that God intended, resulted in sanctifying their own laws instead. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15 to help us understand Matthew chapter 12. What the Pharisees believed and what they taught about Sabbath day restrictions did not just develop in this setting. Their understanding of what the law taught had a long history. What you believe might be rooted in beliefs and practices that are generations old in your family, things that you and your ancestors believed that defined your faith and your family's faith for a long time. And so it was for the Pharisees' belief about the Sabbath and other Old Testament teachings. Theirs was a long time and firmly held belief. They viewed it as truth. They viewed it as scripture. They understood it to be what God wanted them to believe and what God wanted them to know and to follow. The $64,000 question, though, was this. Was it really what God taught in Scripture? Or was it something that moved away from scriptural intent a long time ago and had, in time, become so codified and cataloged as Scripture that it was nigh impossible to separate the tradition from the truth? As we shall see, that's what Jesus will say about another restrictive teaching in Matthew. We turn there to understand the difference between truth and tradition, after which we will get back to our study of Matthew chapter 12. To help us better understand the thinking of the Pharisees in this context, Matthew 12 verses 1 and following, let's shift to another related situation in Matthew's gospel. There are other passages that chronicle the Pharisees versus Jesus confrontations, but this one, in Matthew chapter 15, includes not only another concern of the Pharisees, they accuse the disciples of law-breaking again, but it also includes an interesting and telling rebuttal by Jesus that puts what he, Jesus, said in Matthew 12 in a clearer context. You can read this entire discussion, this entire encounter between Jesus and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15, 1 through 16. We will summarize with related comments along the way the gist of that passage here. In this setting, Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 1, the scribes and the Pharisees ask Jesus why your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders. That's a telling remark. In Matthew chapter 12, the charge was that the disciples, by plucking and by eating grain, did something that was unlawful. Unlawful, it would seem, meant that they specifically violated some part of the Mosaic law, even more specifically, some part of the Sabbath day law. Technically, however, the language they used simply meant that the Pharisees thought the disciples did something that was not right. Most translations render the original language here as either unlawful or not lawful, but some use the following expressions: not right, which appears to be the literal meaning; against our law, what is against the law; breaking the Sabbath law, breaking the law, or doing what is forbidden on the Sabbath. Clearly, most translators understood the literal meaning of not right to have the sense of breaking the law of Moses and or breaking the Sabbath day's law. Here, in Matthew 15, rather than accuse the disciples of doing something unlawful or not right, the Pharisees stated that the disciples transgressed the tradition of the elders. The word translated as transgressed, rather than referring to sin in a general sense, often carries with it the sense of willful or high-handed rejection and or rebellion against God and or God's will and God's word. It can mean to act contrary to established custom or law with the implication of intent to disobey, to break the law, to transgress, disobedience, transgression. In this setting, what the Pharisees were concerned about, ritual, ceremonial washing before meals, not a matter of hygiene here, was something that was handed down from one generation to the next. That's the meaning of the word tradition. It was passed along from one generation to the next through or by the elders. The term tradition appears in translation as the teaching of the fathers, the teaching handed down by our ancestors, as our age-old tradition, and finally as the ancient tradition. The value of studying this passage in Matthew chapter 15, Mark chapter 7 verse 1 and following incidentally discusses it as well, the value comes out when we see how Jesus replied to the Pharisees' charge. Again, their concern was that the disciples transgressed, willfully so, it would seem, the long-time teaching of their ancestors in that they did not observe a specific ritual washing before they ate bread. So, let's take a close look at Jesus' response. Jesus' first statement was this: why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? That's Matthew 15, verse 3. What Jesus did appears, at first glance, to be an unfortunate turn in the discussion. First, the Pharisees accused the disciples of wrongdoing. And then second, rather than respond to the Pharisees' accusation, Jesus replied with a charge of his own. We end up, it seems, with a they-said-he-said discussion that apparently was not going anywhere. But there's more. Jesus did not deny that the disciples violated the tradition of the elders. Why not? Because the disciples did violate the tradition of the elders. The gravity of that charge, however, pales when you consider not only what Jesus charged in return, but with how Jesus supported his charge. To accuse the disciples of violating long-standing tradition of the elders was not to be dismissed, but it was nothing, literally, compared to Jesus' charge that the Pharisees transgressed the commandment of God because of your tradition. Jesus used the same word, transgress, that the Pharisees first used. The disciples, the Pharisees said, willfully disregarded the ancient tradition of the elders. But Jesus stated that the Pharisees willfully disregarded the commandment of God because of your tradition. The more serious charge was clearly Jesus' charge, unless, of course, you were a Pharisee. Again, to make sure that we grasp why they reasoned as they did, consider this. Wilkins tells us how and why the Pharisees thought as they did. Wilkins notes, "The tradition of the elders became a technical expression among the Pharisees for the interpretation of Scripture made by past esteemed rabbis that was passed on to later generations. This generally was connected later with Mishnah's halakha, walking, that sets forth law to guide the faithful in their walking or living in consistency with Scripture. The traditions of the elders, therefore, came to refer to rules of Jewish life and religion, which in the course of centuries had come to possess a validity and sanctity equal to that of the written law, and which, as the oral law, were deemed equally with the written law to be of divine origin, and therefore consonant with, and for the most part deducible from the written law." End of citation by Wilkins. That's the mindset that Jesus responded to, a mindset that, over the course of centuries, equated the oral tradition of the elders with the written commandment of God. Jesus himself stated that, first in Matthew 15:3, but then he stated it two more times, in Matthew 15:6 and Matthew 15:9. In 15:6, Jesus said, "Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." And in 15:9, citing Isaiah, Jesus noted, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Wilkins noted that, according to the Pharisees' thinking, the oral traditions of their fathers equaled God's revealed or written word. Jesus, however, went a step further. Jesus not only said that the Pharisees transgressed the command of God because of your tradition, he said that they made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 12. This reminder as we conclude, let me encourage you to consider enrolling in our completely free, self-paced online Bible study. To get started, just go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.